evening is verse number 9 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. And it says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." In this passage of Scripture that we've read with you tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks at the end of verse 13, and he says, "I am come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And those words highlight for us the great purpose of Christ's first coming to this world, to this scene of time. That purpose was one of calling sinners to repentance. That purpose was one of drawing people away from their sin. That purpose was one of drawing sinners to that place of saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ himself for salvation. And that purpose is wonderfully highlighted for us in this chapter. Because in this chapter we read of a certain individual by the name of Matthew. And we read of him here in this passage meeting with Christ. And it was no ordinary meeting. It was no casual meeting, so to speak. But in this occasion, Matthew has a saving encounter with the Son of God, the Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. This day he is gloriously converted for time and for all of God's eternity. Over in the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, Luke also records this incident for us. In verse 27 of that chapter, he tells us that Matthew's other name was Levi. So Levi and Matthew are the same people. We are told from both accounts that Matthew was a publican. He was a tax collector. But after he was saved, after he was converted, he became a great servant of the Lord. The Bible tells us that he became one of the Lord's apostles, one whom the Lord himself used to forward the gospel and to build his church in the early days of the New Testament times. Not only was he one of the Lord's 12 apostles, but he also was a holy man of God. And he was a man whom God used to be the penman of the first book of the New Testament of God's Word. Yes, when we look at Matthew and think of Matthew, we can say he became a tremendous trophy of God's saving grace. Yes, he was a testimony of what the grace of God can do in saving sinners, plucking them as brands from the burning and setting them on the King's highway to glory. What a day this day was. The day Matthew met with the Lord Jesus Christ. My verse 9 says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." Prior to this, Jesus had performed that great miracle of healing the man who was sick of the palsy. Not only did he heal him physically, he healed him spiritually. He saved his soul. He forgave all his sins. He could say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Then following on from this, he continues on in his great mission of saving sinners. And here we have him meeting with Matthew. He sees Matthew at his work, at his daily round and common task, and he calls him to himself for salvation. And Matthew responds. He doesn't turn a deaf ear to the call of the Lord and the gospel. He heeds the call. He is saved. He becomes a Christian. Now after his conversion, we're told he has a great feast in his home. Christ is there. The disciples are there. We're told that other publicans are also invited, and the Pharisees, the religious aristocracy of the day, they complain of Christ.
keeping such company, they murmur and complain to the Lord's disciples, and in answering their complaint, the Lord says, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And then he goes on to say, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Why the Lord vindicates his association with such, because the whole purpose of his mission in coming to this world was to save sinners, to draw them to repentance in himself and trust in himself alone for salvation. And tonight, dear friends, I want us just to look at Matthew's conversion. You see, the day that Matthew was converted was the greatest day of his life. It was a momentous day. Why? Because that day sealed his destiny for heaven, an eternal life, an eternal glory. And my, just as Matthew had a saving encounter with Christ, my prayer, indeed the prayer of your minister tonight, is for all who are still unsaved in this meeting this evening, that this very night you too, in this gospel mission, in this gospel meeting, that you too would have a saving encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that this very night you too would settle your destiny and seal your destiny for heaven and for home by coming and putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, resting upon his atoning work alone for the pardon of your sins. Oh friend, tonight if you come to Christ and trust him, this will be the greatest night of your life. This will be the most momentous day in your life upon God's earth in this scene of time. Oh, that you would follow the example tonight of Matthew. There are three things I want you to see just about this man's conversion. Notice first of all the great call to Matthew. And you look at verse 9, you'll see that call. Christ called to Matthew to salvation and discipleship. It was a call that was very plain. It was a call that was very simple. It was just made up of two words. In the latter part of the verse, notice what Jesus says to Matthew. He simply says, follow me. And that's what every Christian is. A follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What does it mean to follow Christ? Why, to follow Christ means a person repenting of their sin. To follow Christ means a person trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. Jesus says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. The denying of self there speaks to us of repentance. The taking up of the cross there speaks to us of faith in the finished work of Christ upon the cross for the pardon of sin and for peace with God. Oh, this is what it means to be a follower of the Lamb, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the Apostle Paul preaching to the people about the Lord Jesus in the city of Antioch. What was his message? He said to them, be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And there Paul told that people to be saved, to be a follower of Christ. Their faith needed to be in Christ, the Son of God, for their salvation. And oh dear friend, just as Christ called Matthew to follow him, to be a Christian, likewise he also calls you tonight who are unsaved. He says, follow me. He calls you to be a Christian. My, in following him, he calls you to repent of your sins. For he says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. My, in following him, he calls you to trust in him alone, to rest in his sacrifice upon the cross alone, that her sister was singing of, for the pardon of your sin and the salvation of your soul. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I want a call. Follow me. Will you respond to that call tonight? Notice here also that Christ's call to Matthew was prompted by what Christ saw. Look again at verse 9 of the chapter. Notice what it says. It says, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, it says, he saw, notice it, a man named Matthew. Notice the word man there. That word man just reminds us that this man Matthew was just a man. He was flesh and blood like you and I and all the rest of mankind. Like everyone else, he had sinned against God. Like everyone else, he had come short of the glory of God. Like everyone else, he too was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Like everyone else, he too was dead in trespasses and in sins before God. Yet despite his sin, despite his iniquity, Christ calls him to salvation. He says, Matthew, follow me. And likewise, dear friend, at our meeting tonight on sea, if you too are a sinner, oh, that you would see this in your heart and soul tonight. A sinner by nature, a sinner by practice, yet despite your sin, Christ in the gospel comes to your heart, he comes to your soul, and he calls you to be saved, to follow him. He calls you to salvation. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whoever you are, whatever your background is, your color, your creed, your class, whatever your sins are or have been or are tonight, Christ says, come unto me. Christ says to you through this text tonight, he says, follow me. Come and be a Christian. Come and be saved. Oh, will you respond to that call tonight? Notice also here that Christ's call to Matthew was founded upon love. The divine love of the perfect Son of God. Look carefully at what we read here in verse 9 of the chapter. It says, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew. Notice what it says. Sitting, it says, at the receipt of custom. And that gives us an indication of what kind of a man Matthew was. Matthew was a tax collector. Luke's account in Luke chapter 5 and the verse 27 tells us he was a publican. What was a publican in the days of the Bible? What was a tax collector in the days of our Lord? Publican was a person who collected taxes, a Jewish person who collected taxes for the Roman Empire, the Roman army of occupation in Israel at that time. And they were such. They were hated and despised by the Jews. The tax collector was regarded as the lowest of the low in society. They would have been treated worse than the very dogs of the street. They would have been despised. They would have been counted as traitors, as collaborators with the enemy in the army of occupation. Jews would have had no time for those who were tax collectors. If you turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and to the verse number 11, where Jesus tells us about the Pharisee and a so-called prayer before the Lord, there you get an indication of just how much the Jews despised those who were publicans and tax collectors. And notice the order of the words here in verse 11 of Luke chapter 18. And always remember, child of God, when you come to read God's word, all of it is important. All of it is inspired. Even the very order of the words are important for us to glean from. Look at verse 11 there of Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And notice what this Pharisee says. Notice how he supposedly prays. And notice his reference to the publican. It says in verse 11 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. He thought he was better than everyone else. Then he goes on to give a list of certain people. He says, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. And then he goes a step further, or even as this publican. Now he speaks of the extortioner, he is bad. Then he goes on to speak of the unjust, he is worse. And then he goes on to speak of the adulterer, he is worse still. But then he emphasizes it further, or even as this publican, the publican is worse than any of these people that he's mentioned. That's the thinking of the Jew against the publican, the tax collector. You think of the social ladder, so to speak. The publican would have been very, very far down, even before the lowest rung on the ladder of society. This is how it was with Matthew. This tax collector we're looking at tonight. He had been despised, hated by others. Yet despite what others thought about him. Oh, that you would see this tonight in our text. Christ loved him. And with the compassion of the Son of God, with that perfect compassion of God, Christ comes to him. Christ meets him at the very point of his need. And he says, Matthew, follow me. That was a call full of love towards this man, Matthew, who was a sinner, yes. One who was despised and hated even by others. And people, the great news of the gospel tonight is this. Our Savior, this very same Jesus that we're looking at tonight, he has not changed. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And now he is the great lover of souls. And as the great lover of souls, friend, he calls you and I to himself for salvation. He calls you to be saved. He calls you to become a Christian. He calls you to follow him. See, the Bible says the Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How great, how vast, how rich, how full, how free is the love of Christ toward sinners. It is beyond all comprehension. It is beyond all description. If you go out into your garden and you turn on your garden hose or you leave the tap running, the water will run. Where will the water run to in your garden? It will always run to the lowest point in your garden or your backyard or whatever. It will always run to the lowest level. And friends, that's how it is with the love of Christ. The love of Christ reaches down to those that are far down in the depths of sin and degradation. David the psalmist in Psalm 130 is speaking. He begins that psalm by saying, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. He was down in the depths because of his sin. Yet down there in the deepest pit, in the deep depths of his sin, the love of God in Christ reached down to his soul. Oh friend, the love of Christ reaches sinners down in the very depths. Dear friend, tonight in our meeting, you may be far down in sin. I don't know you. I know some. I don't know you all. Maybe others have little time for you. Maybe others have no time for you whatsoever. They have little regard for you. But I want to tell you tonight, Christ has time for you. Christ has a concern for your soul, for your spiritual well-being. I in love, he comes to your heart tonight and he says, follow me. He says, come unto me. Trust me, repent of your sin. Become a Christian. Look to me for salvation. What a call Matthew heard that day. Yes, we see the call of Matthew. But notice secondly tonight, not only his call, notice the great decision of Matthew that day. Look at the latter part of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, and the verse 9. The Lord spoke to him, and he said, follow me. Look at the final part of the verse. It says of Matthew, and he arose and followed him. Matthew yielded to Christ's call that day to become a Christian. I want you to see here that this decision to trust Christ as Savior was immediate. Notice again what the verse says. As soon as Christ called, followed him, it says he arose and followed him. There was no delay. There was no excuses. There was no putting it off. There was no procrastination. Oh, sinner, as the Lord calls you tonight to be saved, oh, that your response tonight would be similar to that of Matthew in our passage tonight. Now, tonight is the time for you to be saved. We were looking at that great invitation the other night, but the Lord says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Lord says, come now, young man, young woman, older man, older woman, not saved. The Bible says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Oh, the hymn writer says, come sinner to Jesus, no longer delay. A full, free salvation he offers today. Don't you be like Felix. God spoke to Felix. He sent Paul the prisoner. And Paul preached the gospel to Felix. And my Felix heard that call through the ministry of Paul to come to Christ for salvation and to become a Christian and to be saved. And what was the response of Felix, the Roman governor? He said this to Paul, go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He procrastinated. Little did Felix know that that moment was his convenient time. Little did Felix know that that moment was his God-given opportunity. By that day he refused the call of the gospel to come to Christ. He was sealing his destiny for hell. For he went on in his sin. And he died in his sin and he perished in his sin. The Bible never speaks again of Felix having another opportunity to get right with God. My, as Paul leaves him, God leaves him. God ceases to speak to him. That is why, my friend, the Bible says, today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Friend, tonight could be God's final call for you to get saved. Tonight could be the last time for you ever to hear Christ calling, follow me. Come to me. Come to me for salvation. Why do I say that? Because God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That is not my word. That is the word of God in the Scriptures. T.L. Moody was once preaching at a gospel meeting in the city of Chicago where he ministered. And he made an appeal at the end of that gospel meeting for those who were concerned to wait behind and that they should get right with God and seek the Lord for salvation. And that night when the meeting was over, many stayed behind and sat in the meeting. And Moody really couldn't get over it. He wasn't too sure if these people really knew what they were doing. How could so many people wait behind with an apparent concern in their soul to get right with God? And he thought, surely some of them must be mistaken. Then again he asked of those who really meant to get right with God if they would move into another room of the church. And again the large crowd almost all went into that room. And again he couldn't understand it. Was there so many people that night wanting to get right with God? And he was unsure what to do. And he said, I tell you what, you go home and think about this matter of salvation. If you really mean it, come back next week. And we'll deal with this matter. You can deal with God and seek the Lord and get right with God. That crowd dismissed. And that night a great fire broke out in that city. And that crowd never assembled again to hear the word of God under Moody's preaching. And that thought troubled his heart, his soul, the rest of his life, the rest of his ministry. that he dismissed those who had shown concern to get right with God. You see, friend, God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Notice also here that Matthew's decision to trust Christ, it involved repentance. When Luke speaks of this account in verse 28 of Luke chapter 5, it says this, and he left all and rose up and followed him, the leaving of all it shows to us. He turned his back upon his sin. He turned his back upon his old way of life. He forsook all that was contrary to God in his life. Friend, if you are to be saved by faith in Christ, then you must repent of your sins. You must acknowledge your sins to God. There must be confession of your sins to God. The Bible says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. It has been rightly said that there's no going to the fair haven of glory without sailing through the narrow straits of repentance. When God saves, and whom God saves, there is always repentance. There can be no salvation where there is no repentance. Turning your Bible back to Proverbs chapter 28 and the verse number 13. Notice what the Word of God says there. He that covereth his sins, in other words, the person who is not willing to repent of their sins, it says, shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Friend, are you willing to have done with your sin tonight? To repent of your sins, to turn from your sins? God commands you to repent. But also notice here from Matthew chapter 9 that Matthew's decision to become a Christian, it involves faith in Christ. For notice how verse 9 ends. It simply says of Matthew, and he followed him. He followed Christ. And that speaks to us of faith in Christ. He was trusting in Christ. He was trusting in the blood of Christ alone for the forgiveness of all of his sins. And what does the Bible say? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My, he was trusting in the Lord for grace to live the Christian life. And Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. He was trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life in heaven. Jesus says to those who trust him, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Friend, if you are to become a Christian, you must trust in Christ and in his blood alone for your salvation. My, it is not faith in Christ and in the church that saves. No. It is not faith in Christ and in your own self-righteousness that saves. No. It is not faith in Christ and your own good works or your own charity or your own money that saves. No. Oh friend, you can only be saved by faith alone. In Christ alone. It is Christ alone who saves. What was the message of Peter to the Jews, a devoutly religious people? He spoke to them of Christ and he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. He spoke only of Christ. Unsaved friend in our meeting tonight, this night, may you trust in Christ. Come to rest alone and entirely and absolutely upon Christ. The hymn writer could say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Notice finally tonight, just from our text, notice the great testimony of Matthew. He followed Christ, and what did it lead to? Look at verse 10. He had a great feast. It says, and it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Here was a great feast. Present was Christ, publicans, sinners, and other disciples. Luke's account tells us that Matthew made this feast in his own house. It was in his own home. In this feast, you see that Matthew's testimony was one here of fellowship with Christ. Here he is now fellowshipping with Christ around the table. Friend, if you trust Christ as your Savior, you will have fellowship with Him all the rest of your days. What does the Lord say to every soul that trusts Him? He says this, "For I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Mine, having fellowship with Christ, you'll have one to be with you to help you through life, through life's storms. The mission hymn that you've been singing here night by night is what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. You'll have the everlasting arms of Christ round about you, fellowship with the Lamb. In this feast also we see here that Matthew's testimony is one of identification with the people of God. At this feast, he is in the company of the disciples. He's no longer running with the world. And friend, when you trust Christ to save you, you will have friends who will be a help to you. Friends who will be a blessing to you, who will be an encouragement to you, who will pray with you and for you in life's journey. Remember what Moses said to his father-in-law Hobab? He said, "Come thou with us, and we will do thee good." Think of that, and then think of the prodigal son who took his father's substance and went into the far country and spent it on riotous living. Then there was a famine, and he began to be in want. His money run down. He was at wit's end corner, so to speak. And what does the Bible say about him? It says, "No man gave unto him." He was friendless. He was forsaken. Yet when he repented and came home, the Bible tells us that the Father embraced him. The Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." The moment you trust Christ as Savior, you will enter into the greatest of all families, the family of faith, the household of God. Then we can say also here that in this feast, Matthew's testimony was one of usefulness. You see, by this feast, he introduced others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Other tax collectors, other publicans. Those whom the Bible calls sinners. He was the means of leading, pointing, introducing others to the Lord. Think of Andrew. Whenever Andrew was saved, the Bible tells us he led his brother Simon Peter to Christ. The Bible says he brought him to Jesus, his own kith and kin. He pointed him to the Lord. Oh, friend, tonight think about it in your unsafe state. What are you doing? What are you doing with your friends and your family as you remain out of Christ? Now you're leading your friends, your family, your loved ones, yes, like yourself, on in sin, by your own example, on to a lost, a sinner's hell. Praise God, if you repent of your sin and trust Christ as Savior, then you can be the means of pointing others to Christ. My God can use you for His honor and for His glory. Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then what's your choice going to be tonight? What's the decision of your heart going to be tonight, having been confronted again with the claims of the gospel? What are you going to do this evening with God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you step out on the promise tonight of God's Word and seal your destiny for heaven? What does the promise of God's Word say? It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Will you come this night to Christ as the hymn writer came? He said, "I am coming, Lord, to Thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary." Oh, friend, will you come like that? Oh, as Christ calls you tonight to salvation, as He speaks to your heart, as He speaks to your soul through our text and says, "Follow me," as He calls you to repentance, to faith, as He calls you to be saved and to become a child of God, what's your response going to be? Oh, that tonight your response would be like Matthew. And it says here, and he arose and followed him. If you're not following Christ tonight, you're following the world. You're following sin. You're following Satan. And what's the end of sin? Listen to the word of God. It says the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but eternal separation from God in a lost sinner's hell. The Bible says, wide is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And that's where your sin will take you to. You don't heed the gospel. You turn away from the Lord. Oh, be wise tonight. Follow the example of this man, Matthew. Be saved by the wonderful grace of God. Trust in him. Lean upon Christ. Look to Christ alone. He will save you for time and for all of God's great eternity. Let us pray.